لبدراجے پردیشنگ پیٹرن کنگڈم رشوا بائکنگ پوترم بجانسن کلام دھرم جس سوٹیبل فور دا ڈائنیسٹی بھاتری بھی پہلے بردر لوگ پالا بھی who are all expert administrators. Mumude, enjoy life. Paraya, uncommon. Shriya, opulent. Translation and purpose, let's look over. Translation. Having won his kingdom and observed the birth of one grandson, competent to continue the noble tradition of his family, Maharaja Yudhishthira reigned peacefully and enjoyed uncommon opulence in cooperation with his younger brothers, who were all expert administrators to the common people. Purpose. Both Maharaja Yudhishthira and Arjuna were unhappy from the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra. But even though they were unwilling to keep their own men in the fight, it had to be done as a matter of duty. For it was planned by the supreme will of Lord Sri Krishna. After the battle, Maharaja Yudhishthira was unhappy over such mass killing. Practically, there was none to continue the Kuru dynasty after them. The Pandavas, the only remaining hope was the child in the womb of his daughter-in-law, Uttara, and he was also attacked by Ashwatthama. But by the grace of the Lord, the child was saved. So, after the settlement of all the disturbing conditions and re-establishment of the peaceful order of the state, and after seeing the surviving child Parikshit well satisfied, Maharaja Yudhishthira felt some relief as a human being, although he had very little attraction for material happiness, which is always illusory and temporary. ओमध्यान किमिरांधस्य ध्यानं जनश्रवातरा शिक्षुरुपेतमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतलये स्वयं रूपाकदामयं ददाति स्वभाविकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवमश्च श्रीरूपं साजजातं सहगणगदनायकं संस्थीपम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणगदनाशीर्षकान्तिकाश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्ते भक्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विषभानुसंस्थिते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य पतितानापावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीपदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्रीनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतिदेवे भगवानि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी कश्चारिणे जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे After having won his kingdom and observed the birth of one grandson, competent to continue the noble tradition of his family. Maharaj Yudhishthira reigned peacefully and enjoyed uncommon opulence in cooperation with his younger brothers, who were all expert administrators to the common people. In this chapter, we see that Vidura comes back after his pilgrimage, having gone for different places and learned from Maitreya Rishi and been to all holy places. He comes back to pick up his deceased elder brother, Dhritarashtra, who was too much attached to the body and was living with the Pandavas in spite of being humiliated and totally defeated by them. And in the meantime, he is also describing, so what was the atmosphere there? And in this verse, it says, what happened to Yudhishthira Maharaj? The opulence he enjoyed and the facilities he got, and the good qualities of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Glorification of the actually entire tradition of Kuru Vamsa, all the ancestors of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Having won his kingdom and observed the birth of one grandson, competent to continue the noble tradition of his family. It's not just tradition of his family. The noble tradition of his family, Maharaj Yudhishthira reigned peacefully. He lived peacefully and enjoyed uncommon opulences, which was never seen. It is said, he was as opulent as the King Indra, the King of Heaven. Everything that one can dream of in the material world was available with Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why he got that? Because he was a devotee, isn't it? In cooperation with the younger brothers, who are all expert administrators. So today we will discuss what are the noble tradition of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and what are the great qualities of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and the great opulences that Yudhishthira Maharaj got from the Lord. And the directly, these are all direct description of the devotee service to the Supreme Lord. So it is said, what is the duty of the king? Yudhishthira Maharaj was a kshatriya. His duty was to rule the kingdom. So who should rule the kingdom? Who is eligible to take over the kingship? It says, that's why the king is called Naradeva, the representative of God among humans. He represents the Lord, Supreme Lord, isn't it? So his duty is to take care of the citizens or praja on behalf of the Lord and as per the desire of the Lord. Not that he will rule you physically. Whatever I want should happen. That is not the ideal king. That's why it's a Raja Rishi. King is a Raja Rishi. He is a Raja and also a Rishi. Actually, both things do not seem to go together. Rishi means it should be renounced. He is in the power of something. But Raja and also Rishi. It's so much of opulence in everything. So that is Raja Rishi. He is a king and also full of opulence, but on behalf of the Lord. That's why, if the king is virtuous, the entire kingdom, entire civilization is directed towards perfection. And if the king is deviant and mischievous, the whole kingdom is doomed. There is a Bengali saying, Prabhupada used to say, Rajya dosha, Rajya dosha, Rajya nasta. If Raja is dosha, means if Raja is not perfect, he is deviating, then entire Rajya is doomed. Rajya dosha. Like this. If the king is not ideal, king is not aligned to the purpose of Dharma, then there is big devastation for the entire kingdom. So that was the kingdom or the tradition of Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was virtuous devotee king. And see, you see, it started from Guru. It actually started from Bharata. Bharata was a great devotee. He is a descendant from him. That's a Bharata, it's a Bharata Ashrama. Bhagavad Gita again, it's a Bharata. Why Bharata? Because he is a descendant of Bharata Maharaj, who was a great devotee. Then there is Guru, King Guru, he is also a great devotee. Then there is Shantanu Maharaj and Bhishma Dev, the same, the son of Shantanu, Devavrata, previously his name was Devavrata. But he was so, the day he proclaimed his vow that I will never get married. So there were showers from the sky. He said, oh, this is glorious, this is a Bhishma. They started chanting Bhishma. Bhishma is one of a terrible vow which cannot be broken, unbroken vow. Such was, he was one of the Mahajanas, Bhishma Dev. That's it. Then Pandu Maharaj, before him there were two uncles. Bhishma Dev was a brother in the home of Satyavati, one of Chitrangada. So such a formidable warrior that even the Devadatta Radharaj's name completely unbelievable warrior, unbelievable strength and completely whatever Bhagavad Gita describes. He should be chivalrous, he should be brave and strong and like he is formidable to the enemies and all this. Highly, highly strong he is. Very strong. At the same time, there happened to be another king in the heavens, right, whose name was also Chitrangada. His name was Yaksha king. So he became envious. So how can there be another Chitrangada who is more famous than me? So either if we want to rule, like he wanted to be the only Chitrangada who is powerful. So that Devata, that Kuva Yaksha became envious of this Chitrangada, the son of Satyavati and Shantana Maharaj. He attacked the kingdom of Kuru Vamsha. So there was a big fight. The two Chitrangadas fought for years. Such a fierce battle for years and years. At the end of the battle, the Chitrangada of Kuru Vamsha was killed. The younger brother. Of Vichitravirya. So, the elder brother of Vichitravirya, he was killed. Then there is another Vichitravirya. So, the another brother of Vichitravirya. Then he also passed away because of bad health. Then we know the story how the Dhritarashtra and Pandava were begotten in the wombs of Ambika and Ambarika from Vasudeva. So, then the whole continues. Then Pandava is also very, very powerful. It's that when he went to the Swayamvara of Kuntidevi, her father, her actual personal father, Kunti Bhoja. Supposed to be her dad adopted because he didn't have a son. Child, so he asked for his daughter. So Kunti, that's how the name Kunti. Kunti, otherwise she is Prita. That when Prita became Kunti, the daughter of Kunti Bhoja. So then when he came, there are so many things waiting for to get married to Kunti. She was very beautiful and well qualified and all those things. So they are waiting in queue. But when Pandu came there, because he described, Mahabharata described, the broad chest and formidable arms and strong, all the great qualities. The moment he came, everyone like left side for him. Nobody would dare to challenge him. That's why in the previous days, marriage was, the part of the marriage was, a fight should be there. There should be a battle. And if there is no battle, the marriage is considered incomplete. So that's why there is a woman put this tilakam, this great kumkum on the head. The symbol is, when there will be war, they will chase the princess, there will be war, they will kill all, and the blood of the bride, they will put it on the forehead of the bride. So that is how the tradition goes on. Like, so that is how integral part of Kshatriya marriage is. So that is how it is going. But when Pandu came there, nobody even dared to challenge him. Such a highly powerful and strong king. And like, at the same time, very devoted. You see how he left all the kingdom, he gave all to his brother, he just went to the forest and he was more into, he was more on the side of spiritual elevation rather than enjoying opulence and all these things. That you see. Then you see the Pandavas themselves, such great devotees. So great devotees. Yudhishthira Maharaj, then Bhima, then Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, all great devotees and highly qualified devotees. Such was the noble heritage of Pandavas. So the fathers and other things. That's the matter of pride, that's it. So one thing you can see, so what was so great, what was that greatness from where it comes? So greatness of Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas were their behavior, excellent behavior, the way they behaved themselves and the way they were, they carried, conducted and carried themselves wherever they went. Isn't it? So Maharaj Yudhishthira himself was highly qualified and extremely well behaved person himself. He respected his elders, respected his guru, respected all his ancestors and everyone. That's why you see, just because after the war, so Yudhishthira Maharaj, both the parties, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken, everything is ready, they are ready to battle. But all of a sudden, Yudhishthira Maharaj drops his weapon, takes out his armor and gets out of the chariot. Then everyone is wondering what is happening, he is going to make a compromise or then, to add to that, he starts walking towards the Kuru's army. He walks towards Kuru's army. And there he goes and meets Vishwadeva. He says, I came to take your blessing. So please bless. Then Vishwadeva says, Vijayi Baba, he is victorious. Because he is fighting another day. So then, that's the good behavior. That's why Vishwa says, had you not come to take my blessing, I would have cursed you to lose this battle. But because he came, now he will be victorious. Same thing, if he goes to Dronacharya, Kripacharya, then his uncle, Shalya, he takes blessing from them. So this is good behavior. So one thing is, from here what we learn is, we may not be qualified. We may not be qualified, we are not the jack of all us, everything we can do. We may have disqualifications or limitations. But if the behavior is good, it is well behaved, those qualities, the limitations will be forgiven. For example, if I am trying to practice, do some services, But if somebody asks, I am incompetent, I cannot do anything properly. So, I don't know how to grow the net, I don't know how to flow things, I don't know how to give a class, I don't know how to do anything actually. I don't know, I am not qualified. But if my behavior is good, I will be accepted within the community of devotees. For example, if you send him to make a drug, he may send a tax. Something, just nothing, he cannot do anything. You can't trust him for any reliable service. But if his behavior is good, okay, people will accept him and gradually will come up. But imagine a person perfect in everything, but is arrogant and rude and proud and all these things. So nobody likes him. In spite of these so many good qualities, isn't it? The good behavior attracts the mercy of senior Vaishnava, senior devotees, and the Lord also. They are not perfect. But if the behavior is good, actually you see will come up. So one example, there is one devotee in Satara, in Maharashtra. So previously he did not know how to write Marathi, his own native mother tongue. Completely, just dropped out of 4th and 5th standard. He didn't know how to write his own language. But he was extremely well behaved person. He was always respectful to devotees. Devotees would not give him any service, any reliable service. But he was also assistant, do this kind of thing. But today, the same person, when he gives English lectures, we also refer dictionary. We are all graduation, post-graduation, they need to refer dictionary. Why did this, how did this quality come up? Because of his extremely good behavior. And the entire line of spiritual masters and disciples, everything about spiritual life is all about our good behavior. Anything. That's why see anyone who is great teacher or great performer, Srila, Vyasadeva. So what does he say? He begins the Bhagavatam how? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. First offer prayer. First thing he does is offer. He's not showing his academic qualifications or how much I know, okay. Let me start off quoting, you know, like 100 Vedanta Sutras. No. First thing is that, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then Sudha Vasami. In the first chapter, that is, Chavanaprishi says, because you are submissive to your elders and spiritual masters, they gave you all knowledge. Isn't it? Remember. First chapter, Chavanaprishi says, tells about it. And then what does Sudha Vasami says? When they ask him 6 questions, the first thing he doesn't answer the questions first. First is, let me offer my respectful obeisances to that great sage. Shukadeva Goswami. First thing he does is offer respects to his spiritual master. Then he goes on, okay, question number 1, 2, 3, like this. So that is the fundamental part is our good behavior. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was such a highly qualified devotee. And he was all the time working towards the welfare of the entire humanity, the king. And what does it mean to do welfare to the human society? So king should take care of the citizens. Then what is that? So the take care means you should provide what is needed. What is needed? So what is required? So what the real requirement, the real need of human society in the material world is their reattachment or re-establishment of their eternal relation with the Supreme Lord. That is the only and the only requirement. And everything else we presume to be required is not actually required. Is not really required, most other things. They may be supplementary just to hang on. Carry the ball, keep the ball, body and soul together like that. But the real need is our need of advancing in spiritual realization and advancing towards Krishna. We are making progress towards Krishna. That's why we say we are Aryan. Human society is Aryan. Then Prabhupada says, what it means Aryan? So Aryan means, the literal meaning is one who moves forward. He's the Arya. Who is going forward. Where? Going forward towards spiritual advancement. Towards God. Srila Prabhupada, in many of his purpose, he makes the same point that why we are suffering, what is the root of our suffering, and how to get out of this suffering. So we are all here due to our forgetfulness of our relation to Krishna. Having given up the service of Krishna, we are suffering. Isn't it? The rebellious soul takes so many different bodies and suffer again and again and again, suffer punarabhijana, punarabhijana, taking birth again, suffering again, so all these things happen. And the way to come out of this, and they are completely engrossed in self-gratification, that's why they have to suffer. That's why Sri Narada Muni, he tells in the first canto when he meets Vasudeva, what is the solution, what is wrong with Sita and what is the solution to all these things. So there Vasudeva says, Narada Muni says to Vasudeva, Eta Dhyanatura Sitanam Matra Sparse Chayamuhu Avasindutla Vodrisho Haricharyan Varnanam. Eta Dhyanatura Sitanam, their minds are anxious and disturbed. Why? Matra Sparse Chayamuhu. because of their desire to contact the senses again and again. They are anxious and suffering in this material world. Then, Bhava Jindhu, flow of Drishto, flow is the boat. I can see a boat which can take these people over across this material ocean. Bhava Jindhu, flow of Drishto. And what is the flow? What is the boat? Hari Charyanu Varnanam. The glorification of the activities of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna. This is the boat to which the suffering individuals can cross over this material universe. That is again, when the demigod prayed to Lord Krishna within the womb of Mother Devaki, there is a beautiful prayer. He says, all those devotees who surrendered unto you, they took shelter of the boat of the transcendental glories of your Lord and devotee service and crossed over this vast ocean of material existence. Right? So they took this boat of devotee service and crossed over. But interestingly, the sages are so merciful that although even though they crossed over, they still left the boat on this side of the river, ocean of material existence. This is very illogical. If you go like that, I cross the ocean through a boat, and how can the I go to the other end of the ocean, other bank? So how can the ship be still on this side? Isn't it? So they crossed over, but they have left the boat still behind. So how did the kids get there? The next prayer says, it's like a little riddle, little kind of people. Anybody heard this magic? Anybody knows why it happened? Huh? Hook or not, there is no anchor. This one is any other reason? What is that? There is a second boat in Sri. There is another boat. So there is only one boat of Jyoti Sri. They cross over there, but they left behind the boat on this side. The next prayer says, the whole solution to the riddle is the devotees took shelter of this boat of beautiful service. They get onto that boat. But what happens when they get onto the boat? The ocean becomes as small as the water contained within the footprints of the cup. And they can walk over. So is it difficult? They stand on the boat and jump on the side. It's just like the boat is still on this side. The ocean becomes small. Very small. Many vessels. As much water as on the hoofprints of the cup, you can just leap over it. That is the beauty. So this surrender to Krishna, devotion service to Krishna is the only gift we can give, the king can give to his devotion service. And if the king himself is qualified, he is a devotee, that makes everyone qualified. Just like many great Rajarshi, Amrish Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj, all the great sages, they made the devotees, the entire population, chant the holy name and all this. So like this. So then he says, then next verse says, what was another good, great qualification of this Pandavas? That they obeyed the will of the Lord. He says, although they didn't want to fight the battle of Kurukshetra, but because Krishna ordered, Krishna wanted the fight to happen, they fought for Krishna. For God, not for their own purpose. Isn't it? So that's why when Arjuna was lamenting, he says, Putran, Pautran, Maturan, all this, Sakim Sata, he said, no? Prachatra Bhagavad Gita. He sees all his brothers and fathers and grandfathers, sons, grandsons, Putran, Pautran, Matulan, all these people. How can I kill these people? It is so painful. Huh? How can I kill? He was under that attachment of body. Like, I cannot kill these people. Then Krishna goes on explaining. Then he says, it is not that you want to kill, nor can you kill. Your neighbor, it's not your desire to kill, nor you can kill. That's why when Lord Krishna told the Vishwarupa of himself to Arjuna, what happened? Arjuna could see all the warriors entering into the mouth of Krishna, Vishwarupa, right? And all these Kuru soldiers are stuck between his feet. They're already finished. So before the war battle began, they were already killed. There's no question of their survival. It's a proper term in one lecture. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that none of these people are going to go home. None of them don't do this. They're just finished. They're already killed. But if you are, what is that? Nimitta Matra Bhava Chabra Chasi. You become instrumental. If you want, you can take the credit and you kill them. But they are already killed by me. You don't have to kill them. They're already done. So, just to execute the will of Krishna that he wanted this battle to happen. Why? Because the world was filled with unwanted population. Kings and demonic kings and all kinds of totally. Disturbing elements. And that's why Krishna comes. Paripraya sadunam vinashaya sudhisrutam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavame ige. He came to eliminate all the evil elements of the society. That was his purpose. So that's how they executed. So this, actually dharma, Prabhupada says, dharma means simply to abide by the will of Krishna, whatever it is. If Krishna says kill, kill, Krishna says save, save, Krishna says do whatever. Prabhupada says, if Krishna says eat meat, then we'll eat meat, if it's Krishna's order. If our, we are not attached to anything, or vegetarian, or this and that, we are not attached to that. We are attached to what Krishna says. Simply, dharma simply means to abide by the will of Krishna, nothing more than that. Whatever Krishna says, that is the will of Krishna. That is just, that is all dharma goes. And after you see, in the middle of battle, Yudhishthira Maharaj is instrumental in telling us what happens if someone doesn't believe in the words of Krishna. What happens? For a moment, Yudhishthira Maharaj is really doubtful about. So when different people. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Kripacharya, he said, how can I kill you? Then Kripacharya, he can't kill me because anyway I am going to live. Even after that, he was blessed by his elder that he'll not be killed. There's no party in trying to kill me, so he forget me and work at all. So even Ashoka, he can't kill me. He wanted to treat this time some people who are not going to die. But Drona, he says, how can I kill you? Then he can't kill me. Then he said, anyway, out. Then he says, there's one, he can't directly, he can't come back to me and kill me. That's not possible. So in the battlefield. But one thing is, I'm too much attached to my son, Ashoka. If you can kill him, then he can crack me like this, something like this. So, but he cannot kill unless my son is killed. So Ashoka is very challenging and okay, this both are doesn't work. Okay, then Krishna makes a plan. Okay, so Yudhishthira, you announce that Ashoka is dead. Ashoka is dead. Then he says, actually, first he says, Yudhishthira starts hesitating. He was Dharma Parpani, but he never spoke a lie in his entire life, no lies at all. Everything he said is perfect. He never spoke a lie. Then he was skeptical. How is Krishna is telling that kill? Okay, now what we'll do is, you say that Yudhishthira, Ashwatthama, and I'll do a conchal. In between, somebody will say, the elephant, you'll stop the conchal, he says kill. In between, the sound is the double effect. So, some tagger going on, somebody puts a bomb or something, it's like a co effect. It doesn't work. Like, it's mad. So then he says, but even Yudhishthira says, I cannot do this. I can't speak lies. He then says, okay, then he says, Krishna, you tell. You are born, why don't you tell? You are not, people, he can tell. Okay, Krishna says, okay, I can tell, but nobody will believe me if I tell. Who is going to believe? Nobody will believe. Because I am not telling as a very truthful person. But you tell. If you tell, you are truthful, you are Satyavadi, people will believe you tell. Then he says, I cannot do this. And he says, like, later. Then he says, Yudhishthira's chariot had never touched the earth. Had never touched, because he was so truthful. So for this, there are two commentaries. So one was by our enemies, the mundane scholars, our dear enemies. So they say that the battle, it came down because he lied. The chariot was landed, he touched the earth because he lied. On the current thing. But what the acharyas, the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarvi Thakur and other acharyas tell that his chariot came down because he hesitated for a slight moment to execute the will of Krishna. That small hesitation led to his chariot to come down. So that is the means, just follow what Krishna says. Just follow. Many times, Prabhupada did something like really, which we'll feel like really contradictory or something like really strange, but they are according to the will of Krishna. So like this. So there was this thing. So now, what is the will of Krishna? So what does Krishna expect from us? So when we want to do something for him. Okay? So now this is very interesting. So what is most important for Krishna? So like, just like for example, Mansingh took 20 years of sheer hard work and hard labor to build Sri Sri Radha Goranji temple in Vrindavan. Right? It took him long time, 20 years. It was the finest work of architecture, monument in the entire planet. Nothing was like one of the best architecture in the entire planet. It took him 20 years of hard work. So much of work, architecture, in terms of everything was the most beautiful. Huh? And the land on top of Radha Goranji temple could be seen from Qutub Minar in Delhi. It was more beautiful, it was far exceeding the beauty of Qutub Minar or any
any like monument on earth, entire planet, the most beautiful. Then the question is, if you have so much of work of devotion and so much service to Krishna, to please Krishna, then why did Krishna allow it to be dismantled or desecrated or destroyed by the Yavana? Yavana king, they are endless, okay, how can anything be more beautiful than my own work? Okay, let's destroy it. The Yavana destroyed it. Why did Krishna allow it to be destroyed? If it was the most beautiful, it was an act of service, such an excellent service. Why did Krishna? Then what was important for Krishna? The building itself or the service that we do? So for Krishna, what was important was the devotional service that was put in those years, the devotion that was, the result, the apparent result of the devotional service is secondary to Krishna. Right? But the primary, the most important factor that Krishna looks at is the element of devotion and the act we do. For example, is only Siddhanta Maharaj will give an example. For example, we do Janmashtami in the Kuchilama Kalyamandap. So there, we may do a makeshift altar. We do thermocol, we bring some flowers, we bring and all the things to make a makeshift altar on the dais. Will those flowers and the altar remain there for us? So after one week, leave there, the flowers will be there, the textile structure is there. It's not there, it just goes on, that's just decomposed. Okay? But the actual result of our job there is to not last. It may not last because material things, clearly thing a greater structure, it's going to get. The form of that, either by erosion or whatever causes. It's not going to last. But the service that we render by making that altar, make it altar in Kuchilamba, that is eternal. The energy we put, the devotion we put, that is what lasts, not the object or the result of devotion service. That's why, what is pleasing to Krishna? He says, how is the devotee for Krishna? He says in Vrindavan, the only desire of all the devotees in Vrindavan is to please Krishna. Right? And the only desire of Krishna? The only desire of devotees is to please Krishna. And the only desire of devotees, Krishna, is to please the devotee. The only desire of devotees is to please Krishna. And the only desire of Krishna is to please the devotee. Now, knowing that the only desire of Krishna is to please the devotee, the only desire of the devotee is to please the devotee. It's like a total complex. Krishna, we want to please Krishna, but Krishna also please devotee. So, and ultimately, if you want to please Krishna, whom will you please? Will you please the devotee? Many times, in our execution of devotees, devotional service, what we do many times? We are in the middle of a project, it is like some kind of devotional service, and we say, Jo Bhakt Bhishma Aya Hatalo. Any devotee who comes in the middle, just brush him aside, crush him around, get it done, get the work done. It's a typical materialistic attitude. He comes to even a devotee, he's on the way, just crush him aside, make him brush aside something. If we render accomplished service to Krishna, at the cost of hurting a devotee, maybe he will protest, he's innocent or something like that, will it please Krishna? If you do at the cost of devotee, will it please Krishna? For example, some children or some mother is going to do some program, and some young men come, hey, hello, just move them, let's go over them now. So they may not protest, they may not say anything. But the harm that we are causing to those devotees, directly or indirectly, it will not please Krishna. So we can move them out and I can quote all the Vedanta Sutras and everything, he is standing lecture, I think, but will it please Krishna? It will not please. So what Krishna is, what is the devotee? That's why Prabhupada, they invited him to a very humble temple. There is no infrastructure, nothing, just raw, everything was just wall was there and everything was there. The next time, the devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am sorry, we are just brought here completely, kind of vacant place. Okay. So give us some time, we will build a temple of jewels for you. We will build a jewel temple for you, Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, I don't want jewels. My devotees are my jewels, Prabhupada told. So the devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they are the jewels whom we have to take care of. So every person, that's the mood we should render devotion service. We should not think, okay, whoever comes on the way, just move them out. So like this is a typical material attitude. It's like, you know, we do a work and then we just forget it. Just use and throw kind of system. So I need some people when I want to do something, like then I just throw them out because I don't need them anymore. Like, you know, say, Kaam Katam, Admi Katam. He just finished the person out, he just came out. It's a very, very demoniac attitude. But the devotee should be grateful to any little service rendered to him So any person who comes into the temple, he is a guest or the person who has come to see Lord Jagannath. So Deodara is giving an example of the watchman who is taking, who is serving his master. So many people come and, for example, there is a minister. Okay, so many people come and come to meet the minister. So what the guardian does, the gatekeeper, he is standing at the door. Okay, some person, okay, I want to meet the minister. He says, somebody has come to meet you. He is the boss. Yes, so. So we are just like that gatekeeper. He says, he is our boss, Jagannath is the boss. So whoever comes to meet Lord Jagannath, coming here, so he is the guest of Lord Jagannath. So we are only the gatekeeper. So what was this? Jagannath, so many, so devotees have come to meet you. So that is the mood where we, how we host the people who come in and all this. That's all. So that, how, that's the way we can render actual, due actual pleasure to Krishna. Not that we crush someone or move aside someone, hurt some devotees, then there is no accomplishment. It's a big loss. That's one point I want to make. Now when we render service, the Lord is also very much happy and pleased with us. And He gives us what we want to do, even intention to intend to ask for. That's why He's saying, Yudhishthira Maharaj got all the opulences, that uncommon opulences. So like the previous chapters also there is description of how what opulence he had. And even in Mahabharata in detail. So when Yudhishthira Maharaj used to do sacrifices and yajnas, he used to feed people on golden plates. And the cows were so enriched with milk that the grass was white, and then it was the milk of the cows. Their udders were full of milk. So that is the opulence of Vrindavan. And even the, everywhere, wherever, whoever served Krishna, they were blessed with opulence. More than they required. That's why in the Krishna book and in the Bhagavatam in detail, it says, so when, about the pastimes of Vrindavan, okay, when Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, the goddess of fortune was obliged to manifest herself in Vrindavan. It says, so much opulence. So they were throwing butter at each other and playing with butter and so much of jewels and 900,000 cows of Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj is giving you 2 lakh cows in donation and cows and grains and lot of grains, lot of jewels, lot of ornaments. From here everything is coming. Then Lakshmi Jyotra herself was forced or obliged to manifest herself. So whoever serves Krishna, for him the opulence, he just so much of opulence comes. Because they are serving the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So then he said, like when there was one fruit vendor who came to give fruits to Krishna, so he, you know the story, his little palms, his whatever, few grains he could bring, they were already spent on the floor and just few. He gave all the fruits to Krishna. And what he got in return? A whole basket was full of jewels. Full of jewels. That is, Vrindavan. And after that, when he comes to Mathura, first he meets a waterman, Dobi, isn't it? The Dobi hesitates. He refuses to give the clothes to Krishna because they are belonging to Kamsa. When he kills Kamsa, then afterwards he comes across on the street, there is a tailor. He is making some clothes. He invites Krishna with so much opulence, so much respect, then he offers him some clothes. The moment he offers him clothes, his house was fully enriched with so much opulence. For a proper text in the Krishna book that he was given all material opulences. He needed all this. And then there is a florist also, to make nice flowers and care give to Krishna Balaram. And then there is Kubja. Remember, Kubja, hunchback woman. So he gave the sentence which was meant for Kamsa. She applies it on Krishna. Immediately she becomes a very beautiful young lady and so much opulence and everything was given. And another example, so one of the good examples is like Sudama Mitra. So what did he have? He didn't have anything to give to Krishna. But out of devotion, he gave just whatever his wife collected from labor. Just a little bit. Okay? So that is the end. After Sudama's wife was pushing him. Okay, go and your Krishna is your childhood friend. Go and get some money from him and all these things. But Sudama was not interested. Okay, I don't want to go and ask him for material things or food or something. So then when he comes to the palace of Krishna, in Dwaraka, Krishna personally, he is a hero and a messenger. He personally comes to the gate, takes him home, then makes him sit on his own personal bed, then washes his feet, then does all services. And Sudama didn't pronounce what he wanted. He didn't tell. He never told. And Krishna also, he knew what Sudama came for. And he also didn't speak about that. He didn't address that too. But he told what he wanted, he didn't address. And the moment after that everything happened, Sudama is back home. So when he comes home, he sees that his small hut is transformed into a beautiful palace. So much of wealth was there. Okay? Then Sudama is in the Bhagavatam, chapter 10, chapter 81, verses 34 and 35, they describe what Sudama felt about that. So then Sudama said, even though I did not ask anything from the Lord directly, he understood and he showered mercy on me just as a cloud. He compares Krishna to a cloud. So in the first verse of Guru Astakam, he says, cloud, samsara, dava, nava, he is a cloud. He showered all the mercy on me. He gave me so much of opulence and everything I need. Like a cloud. The next verse is a beautiful verse. How does Krishna treat what we do? How does he look at what we do? The Sudama says, Kinchit karoti urvati yatvadatam Dhur kritam vashvati bhuri kari Mayapanitam pritikaikam shim Pratyagrahi priti to mahatma. So we put a struggle for this. Kinchit karoti urvati yatvadatam. Uru is great, huge. So whatever Krishna gives to the devotees, even though it is huge, but how does he see it? Kinchit, nothing. Whatever Krishna gives to us, all that is big, huge, he thinks it is nothing. Then, Surat. Surat means well-wisher or devotee. Surat Kritam, Falgu. The Surat is being Falgu means completely negligent. So what we are doing to Krishna is negligent. Surat Kritam, Falgu Bhavi, Bhuri Kari. So Krishna says that the Falgu you are giving, he makes it Bhuri. He enlarges, oh, he is giving me so much. He gave me full plate of rice and kheer and two puris, this devotee bhakta, bhakta Narada gave me two puris, Krishna teeth, something like that. So he sees whatever little we do, he makes it big. Bhurikari, mayopanitam, prithuka ekam muslim, prithuk means this flat rice, chida. So prithuk muslim is a handful. Although I gave him just a handful of prithuk, Pratyagra his priti to Mahatma. The Supreme Lord is all merciful, accepted his with all love. That is the glory of Krishna. So what we do, little we do, Krishna is magnified. Okay, he's doing so much for us. He thinks, Krishna is grateful. Krishna Prabhupada does not. One day he says, what am I deep way forget Krishna? At the end of the night, I did so much service, but I forget Krishna. Then what happens to me? Then Prabhupada says, you may forget Krishna, but Krishna will not forget you for what you do. Krishna is wonderful. Prabhupada does some example. Like whatever little bit, there are examples, little examples. Something that is for Prabhupada or Krishna, Krishna remembers, he's grateful. He says, okay, how is now, whatever little that is, and he gives it. That's why one Hindi lecturer, Lokanath Sanghama is dream. How Krishna protects, protection in the words of Krishna. He said, aaj tak, na hi aisa hua hai, na ho raha hai, na aage kabhi hoga, ki kisi ne Bhagwan ka sharan liya, और भगवान ने उसका रक्षा नहीं किया. Neither it happened nor it happening or will it ever happen. That you take shelter of Krishna and it will never happen to you. So we see example order how we are going on in this moment. Although that's a prayer. In the beginning it looks like it is austere, isn't it? So doing this sadhana, morning, it's like very difficult, isn't it? But Krishna is giving us all the care and facilities that we take. That's why once our very schedule itself is fighting into many people outside. If it does the daily schedule, they are really fighting. So one military man, together, like heavy, they are into commando training and all this military guy. So he asked one of our brahmacharis, so kya karte hain, aapka dinacharya kya hota, what do you do every day? Then that our dear disciple brahmachari, he told, dekho sabhi hum subah 3:30 baje uthte hain, khana khane ke sir pe nahate hain, फिर 4:30 बजे मंगला की होता है, उसके बाद हम 2 घंटा जमा करते हैं, फिर उसके बाद प्रसाद होता है, फिर उसके बाद हम बुक ले सेवा करते हैं बाहर, फिर दोपहर में शाम पाते हैं वापस, तो वापस में फिर से नहा के फिर थोड़ा प्रसाद होता है, फिर भगवत गीता होता है, फिर रीडिंग होता है, फिर हम 10 बजे सो जाते हैं, फिर से 3:30 होते हैं. So, to keep it in English, he says, we get up at 6:30 and take bath and do RB and then Japa all day active. Then he heard that, he says, that army is controlled. बाप रे, तो आर्मी से भी बदतर है. इट इज आर्मी. तो आर्मी दे बंक, परेड का दे बंक, क्लासेस दे एवरीथिंग दे बंक. another time, I used to come. So, they don't care because they can manipulate the record. But here, why many people are getting practicing so much of Australia? So, why is that? Because there is natural attraction. And how Krishna takes care? So, telling you. So, what do you do? So, one rich person is asking a devotee, like, what do you have to offer? What is Krishna giving you? Then this devotee asks, okay, what do you eat for lunch? He's a rich guy, like a multi-millionaire or something. How about what he eats? I eat one, sandwich, no? Sandwich and this, little coffee sandwich. So you are a millionaire and you eat a sandwich. Okay? I demand a person, I eat 13 dishes only. Only 13 dishes. Subject to addition. If you go to Rama Rastari temple, you cannot eat, that's how much of, why Krishna gives us? Whatever. You only to know that. Hence, no qualification required. Properties, no qualification. You are a pandit, always. You can practice Krishna consciousness. You are a scholar, always. You are a rich man, always. You are a learner, okay. You are a fool, always. Even if I am fool number one, still, I can practice Krishna consciousness. No qualification, no caste, no education qualification. You don't have to be a .NET or Java, based. It's not required. Nothing is required. If you don't have, then you can practice better than you. Like that. So, who depend on Krishna? They, Krishna takes care. That's why you say, be the one who protects the infallible Lord. So, depend on Krishna, Krishna will take care. But one thing is, we should not practice devotee service just because he gives us. Okay, he'll give me some money or something. That's called Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti. And so, at the end of 11th chapter, what does Krishna say? What should be the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Mat Karma Kri, Mat Parama, Mat Bhakta, Sangha Vajita, Nirvaira Sarva Bhuteshu, Yadamanamiti Pandava. But this is a underlying devotion service. Without any mishra of karma or jnana. Mat karma kri mat paramo. Without anything of karma, jnana, any kind of mishra bhakti, shuddha bhakti. Isn't it? Anya Abhilashita Chindam Vaidya. So if we should, although Krishna gives us, but we should not ask for opulence from Krishna. We are only purpose of devotion service is to please Krishna and that's it. Not even to expect anything in return from Krishna. But of course, Krishna is obliged to, Krishna gives. Prabhupada, so how to do? Sometimes we are doing some project or doing some service. So how to understand that Krishna gives? Prabhupada used to say that if you have a strong desire to serve Krishna, if you have a strong desire to serve Krishna, then Krishna will provide you everything that is necessary in abundance. Abundance means your desire. Even though I don't have money, I don't have anything to start with. I just want to, so how does Prabhupada start? He just went to the park and started chanting Hare Krishna. He didn't want anything, isn't it? So his only qualification was he wanted to serve Krishna, that desire was there. So there are so many examples. Some devotees go to a new place, Sukadeva Maharaj, who is now serving in Kurukshetra. He went alone, nothing was there. He was sitting on the banks of the river, just practically nothing. He didn't make a single rupee with him. Only one cloth, he used to wash it, chant, sit on the street, chant. Now they are building a big temple there. So you don't need any capital to start with. You don't need a capital. Your only capital is sincere desire to serve Krishna. And then Krishna will provide everything in abundance. And then, but the devotee is not attached. Krishna Maharaj is not attached to anything, this material happens, which is anyway illusory and temporary. It's not for the last. It's going to be for now. So the one of the first aspects of devotee service is to understand that we are something and we have to come out of it. So I will end with this. He's on a day to Swami Maharaj. So once you are walking along for Japa walk you are going, then one vessel, here is the very best actually. They are going to some brahmachari. They are happy and they are just standing Hare Krishna, they are looking happy. Then one person came, crazy, you know, like this kind of person. He came to Maharaj and they don't know how to address Maharaj and love. He asked this road, if Maharaj is there, what will I have to give up to become like you guys? So that is the question. And Maharaj said, suffering. And went ahead. If you can try it, you will understand what it meant. So he was asking, what do I have to give up to become like you guys? He said, you have to give up suffering to become like us. Hare Krishna. I'll end it. Any one or two questions on this? Yes, ma'am. Okay. So the question is, Sometimes we are in need of something, isn't it? So we need to ask for something. So better to ask Krishna or ask the demigod. Yes, this is very interesting. I will explain it at two levels. First is the philosophical understanding that everything comes from Krishna. The second chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, those who are less intelligent, they take shelter of the demigod for what they want. They ask the demigod, demigod achieve. But what the demigod achieve is ultimately coming from Krishna, the next chapter, next verse. Ultimately it is coming from Krishna. Because Krishna is giving the energy. They are just like officers, you know the philosophical understanding. They are officers entitled by empowered by Krishna to do some certain activities and also provide what we need. But in the Bhagavatam again, Sukadeva Goswami says, Sakama Dharma Kamava, Moksha Kama Udayati, Sivaya Bhakti Yoga, Ejeta Purusha Param. So, who can afford Krishna? Akama, one who doesn't have any desire. Sarva Kamava, one who has all the desire. Akama Sarva Kamava, Moksha Kama Udayati, one who desires liberation. Sivaya Bhakti Yoga, Ejeta Purusha Param. Even if he has the material desire, then even that also he should ask Krishna. But the beauty of the surrender to devotee Krishna is, if you ask Krishna even apparently material, if you ask him, so Krishna will satisfy the desire in such a way that will be free from this desire itself. That's all. There's another example, Kubja. Why, how did Kubja approach Krishna? Out of lusty desire. She wanted to satisfy the lusty desire from Krishna. The moment Krishna touched her, all the lust was burned. Correct? And whatever drove her, so Dhruvamara went to the ambitious mission. I want the biggest kingdom. Like none man ever had it. But Dhruvamara, when he saw Krishna, he said, Sunda, what is that? Swami Kripato Nayatevaram. I don't want anything else. Okay? So that's one level. So even Krishna, the very effect of Krishna consciousness is that the moment you come in touch with Krishna through that desire itself. So some of us, the desire or the request could be a medium through which we connect to get connected to Krishna. So he knows what is our weakness or something. So once our property here, he was telling me how Krishna captures each devotee. I think it was our Keshav Gurdu. So he exit. So Keshav Gurdu had come to the temple. Hare Krishna hit big three of me. So he was standing in queue. He had not yet taken up full time. Our devotion said, he was sitting in the queue. Then he saw that some people were given special queue. They were allowed special. He said, so why they are allowed? He answered, they are life members. So why can't I become life members? Let me go there. he said, maybe, you know, I don't know, it's ego or something like that. He wanted to go up to the special mind. He said, okay, he's a cat, let him catch him. By the special road. He said, okay, he's become life member. Then through that he started coming to the temple, then he became a devotee. He said, some people, they have some desire. So I said, so many nice desire. So one girl used to come to temple. So one day she saw how Ravana was dressed. So some people, they are attached to, they like dressing and fashion and all these things. So she saw how their bangles and all, such beautiful artwork. Just by seeing the bangles of Radharani, she became a devotee. Just for example, it's not a big philosophical introspection or something like that. Some people like prasadam, they come. Some people like, for whatever reason, Nityananda Prabhu, who was working in Texas, Dallas, Texas. So he came to ISKCON by filing a suit against ISKCON. He filed a case against ISKCON. And there was a medium of him to come into ISKCON. He was a labor of ISKCON temple, then Tamashish Maharaj is there. So they are making laws from here only in the temple. He filed a case against ISKCON, and there was how Krishna brought into ISKCON. But going against ISKCON. So I can give so many amazing examples how people come to Krishna consciousness. Like it. And the next thing is, we should ask Krishna only if you do things. But one thing we should know that people ask Shana is to Krishna, but usually we tell it. We can ask Krishna if you want, but no it's for sure that you are going to repent after Krishna gives you that. It's going to end in repenting. There's a whole chapter in the fourth canto dedicated to the repentance of Dhruva Maharaj. Do ask for it, and Krishna gave it also. But the end of after getting it, whole chapter are so attached to sense that it, why did I ask that? So that's what Prahlad says. Don't deal business with me. So it may, you can ask if you want, but you are going to definitely end up in repentance. So that's why there is a, sometimes, but we are stuck, you know, like Maya has caught me to the neck of me. So you cannot really help it. That's why in the 8th chapter of first canto, where the prayers of Queen Kunti are declared, in one purpose, Prabhupada makes a very fine point. He says, sometimes, the householder devotees, who are dealing with the world, they are the so many followers. The householder devotees are embarrassed to ask a favor from the Lord. Embarrassed. Oh, I'm asking. Who's asked? Krishna, you have asked Krishna. But actually, they are feeling an embarrassment to come and ask for Krishna. That itself is a significant advancement in Krishna consciousness. Anybody will ask, who does? You ask Krishna. But the embarrassment itself means, I really don't want to ask. I really seriously don't want to ask. But he is embarrassment to ask something from the Lord. That's exactly what happened to Sudama. He was embarrassed to ask from the Lord. He didn't ask. But Krishna, knowing what you need, he gives it. But either, if you fully depend, Krishna will take it. He knows what I was saying. Krishna knows what is our need more than we ourselves know what is our need. So we really think I need this, maybe it's not really need. But Krishna knows what is our need. Yes, we can ask Krishna directly. Hare Krishna. Any other question or not? Yes, sir. This is Mathura. Dhobi did not give. Taylor made clothes. I have this one. You can read the chapter. Huh? The waterman, first he was the waterman. He was making bread for the samsa. He said, can you give one of the clothes? He said, I want you. Then Krishna left with his hand, he just cut off his head. Prabhupada tells the Hindu, Krishna Muni said, Angani is a second India. He can use his hand as a sword. He cut off his head. Then he goes to the tailor, invites him. Then he goes to the street, tailor invites him, gives him clothes. Then the florist also invites him. Makes him sit on the floor, gives him on the seat, and then gives flowers and clothes. So many people. Some people come and give so many, they got a thing. The point was like, whoever gives Krishna, he is not a loser. He will get in return. Dhobi does not give.
And why they are the devotees? Because they are the love. Because they are the direct action. Who is a Vaishnava? Who has direct action with Krishna? So trust in devotees is as good as trust in Krishna. Because they are the representatives of Krishna. That's the one thing is that after many generations, you can trust 100% only a devotee. You can trust a karmi as much as you want, but go to backpack. So he goes to backpack. Because Prabhupada, anyone in the material world, must have at least one nasty habit. At least one has to be there. There is not many, but at least one. So that begins the cheating process of all the things. So, you know, one lighting body, for example, so we are doing a temple project in Java. So we are trying to take a place or something. So there are two very thick, strong friends. One is Dr. Ananda was there, the landowner. Okay? The landowner was there. The landowner was supposed to give the land to us. Was supposed to give the land to us. Then he said, the doctor, they were working among themselves. The doctor said, if you do me, so because our devotees are trying to collect funds or something. He was, that person was in need of money very badly. He said, if you do me at 5 lakhs, like for example, so like 8 or 10 lakh money. If you do me at 10 lakhs, now that means I'll give you money, I'll take the property in my name, then I'll give the devotees at 9 lakhs. So I'll sponsor 1 lakh rupees from my pocket. That is the agreement between those two friends. Okay? So when he was done, he trusted him, he gave the for 10 lakhs, he gave, then he was handed over. 1 week, just 7 days after the thing happened, the doctor sold the property for 22 lakhs. To someone else. Not to a devotee. Someone else. Within 1 week. Then they said, you are my friend, we are your childhood friend. Where did you see? Who is your friend? The deal is the paper says, the law says, everything is there.
So how long it can turn? So there may be, it looks like a dream. If there is trust in the material world and there is trust, oh, people are trusting, there is so much of car, love, and I trust you, you trust me, we are made for each other, all the same, but how long? Love, exactly. Love at first sight, and then divorce at first sight. First sight, they just kind of. So because that love is actually trust. Unless there is Krishna in the center, there is absolutely no question of love, nothing, nothing, nothing. There is no question of love at all. It looks like, apparently looks like they love each other. But how long? There cannot be love. But material world is a rut, a high one, miserable one. How do you say? Forget it. So we should be convinced that there is no love or trust in this material world. When there is trust, because I need something from you. Isn't it? If you are, if you are not, I will give my answer. Something is good to me. Isn't it? Hare Krishna. That's the only concern of the person is Krishna and he devotee. They are not that person. But we have to be careful. When I say devotee, we have to take care. What is the, again, Rupa Goswami says, different levels of devotee. So, one is neophyte, who is like, most of us are have all of us, but we come up with everything. We come up with it. So, we should know how much to trust in whom, for what extent. So, we are somewhere in between. So, those are pure devotees of Krishna. He kind of was seduced. That's how he did happen. He was calm, but the only thing was, actually he was better than Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, the example is Vasudeva, how he did not kill him. That goes back to that also. So Vasudeva, when Vasudeva approached Ambika, she crossed the red dot of fear. She came right from the jungle. So all the black things and the form and horrible and completely like ascetic, bad odor and obnoxious and he can't take it. Just it's too hard to take. The smell was horrible. She could not take, Vasudeva. She closed her eyes while she was giving, she was being impregnated. Then this child will go out of blind because she closed her eyes. And the second time, Ambalika, when Vasudeva came to Ambalika, she was completely horrified and her face became pale. Pale, completely like horrified, pale. They said, Vasudeva said, this boy will be strong, better than the previous one, but he will be pale. How he will have eyes to see? That's how he was pale, but he was strong, quite strong. But the death happened because of the curse. That's it. The third one. What is? How did he burn? So that third time again it was son of Ambika. So but Ambika treated Vasudeva. So she replaced the maid servant in place of her son. So then but Vasudeva came, he knew that. He came and this servant received her from his great sister. As I said, the great virtuous son. And before, Vidura was born, and Vidura was himself Yamaraj. He was cursed by when he then it happened like that. So, but he was Yamaraj. One reason is why Vidura came out, Yamaraj wanted to preach. So, too much of work, too much of management. Let me go out and sometimes president take a short break, 1 week, I go and stay preaching two and come back. Let me again go back to management. He wanted to preach, take a break and preach from management. And Prabhupada was like, Prabhupada, how the people should conduct devotees. Like, Prabhupada is one of us. How, what is management in Islam? Prabhupada's management in Islam is to bend people without breaking them. So it is not art of bending people without breaking. If you break them, they will go away. Because devotees are just voluntary service. You are aiming blackmailing, you will come out some blackmail or some remuneration you are getting. No. It is voluntary. I can come here, I can go anywhere. Who can arrest me? Okay, probably you are under arrest. I can see, I'm free to go, we are there. People, all of us come here voluntarily, correct? We're not forced or blackmailed or some kind of program or whatever. We are coming voluntarily. So, people come voluntarily. If you hurt them, they leave. There is so much of it happens many times. So, we should know how to bend people without breaking them. So, that's the whole thing of learning. Yeah. Why did Jesus Maharaj say that you have to be a suffering to become like Jesus? That means if you become like, if you become your days, then you become Jesus. Suffering is God. Krishna na sada binda. Maya na sada uda. It's all again. I don't know the ad things, but it's there. So the one devotee, it's interesting. So one devotee was, devotees are distributing books in London Airport. Okay, why? So they were going to Silak and everything on the airport. They were seeing a lot of inconvenience to the other co-passengers, a lot of disturbance. So the authorities thought to stop this people. We don't want them to distribute books in the airport. So they thought some of them they arrested, they were fined and all the things. So they were okay. They were okay. Now they were kind of going on passenger without Silak. We have in Pune, we have PSG. PSG means Pancet Brahmacharya. They go to the hostel. If you want an apartment, then whatever that is, the hospital authorities will object, or you see so far coming. So these people will go to college boys, go inside and do the damage from inside. They are called pancreas brahmacharis. They didn't go there, more than brahmacharis, but as a pancreas people. So they get added at the PSD system. Like, they go on premises and hand out books. So these authorities are puzzled. I don't see devotees on Kirak and all, but still the books are going out. So the people are found with books, are books in their hands. How to crack this? Then all the authorities and all these security people, they did a high level meeting, sort of brainstorming and everything like this. How to identify these people now? Then after some of the thought and the one of them, he got it. The manager, the leader told, okay, I know how to catch these people. He said, if you see any bright face, any private, he must be a devotee. He has to be a devotee. Because if not a being a devotee, they cannot have private. That means it's the effect. People come to Krishna in their morning and some of the sad and all. The moment they become Krishna devotees, happiness, it just happens. It's just dancing and so much of happiness. If you are not happy, then you are not practicing properly. If you practice properly, there is no question of happiness. Some reason. So you got to dance if you are devotee. Yes, sir. Shri Prabhupada.